Good morning. Have you been blessed through the week? It's been pretty incredible, hasn't it? Do you have a nugget that you'll be taking home? Maybe more than one? There's been plenty, hasn't there? I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 2. I believe that God is really wanting to pour His Holy Spirit out on His people. I believe that He has things in store for us that we'll be surprised to find out. Things that we're not familiar with now, when He pours His Spirit out in full measure. And there are many things in the Bible that talk about in the last days this and in the last days that. And part of this chapter is about that. We're going to start at verse 2, and we're going to read through verse 5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. Listen to this. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There's a lot of gems in that little passage that I see. It's in the last days, so I believe it's a message for us now. It's talking about God establishing, it says, the temple of the Lord, the mountain of the temple of the Lord, being established above the other mountains. This is talking about God's people being established. If you look up the original language for the temple, it's also God's family. People are going to stream to it. They will want to go there because God will teach them His ways. God will judge between the nations and settle disputes for many people. Do we have disputes in our churches? Is that a problem? It really is, isn't it? It's been discouraging each one of us. It's discouraged the youth. It has to end, right? God's, the last prayer of Jesus, the last, I call it the His will and testament that He spoke before He went to Calvary, was that we would be one, and that we would be as closely connected to Him and to each other as He, as Jesus was to His Father, is to His Father. That's pretty astonishing. Can you see why people will stream to the mountain of the Lord when He accomplishes that? They will beat their swords into plowshares. Do we have swords against each other? Sometimes we do, right? It's not always, sometimes it's just in our heart. It's not that we say anything, but it's in our hearts, right? And our spears into pruning hooks. Come, O house of Jacob, that's us. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. God is calling us to better things, calling us away from criticism, away from fault-finding, away from self-righteousness and pride, to a path of humility and love and caring for each other. So what do you think it means? What does he want done with the plowshares and the pruning hooks? Ah. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. This is where I found my answer. Also, it goes along with our theme song. I don't know if you've noticed the words of the theme song. This verse definitely speaks to that. Hosea 10, verse 12. And it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." That sounds like heart work to me. How about Joel, next book over, and chapter 2, starting at verse 12, and this whole chapter is pretty incredible, chapter 2 of Joel. "Even now, declares the Lord," this is starting at verse 12, "return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." Then we can go down, talking about verse 17. "Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar, and let them say, 'Spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?'" This is a work for pastors and elders and any of us that lead other people. And it says then, "The Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. And the Lord will reply to them, 'I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn among the nations.'" What is the grain and the wine and the oil? What would grain be? Definitely that. There's it also illustrates something else. Spiritual food and something else. Is there a harvest at the end of the world? What is the harvest of? It's of people, isn't it? People who've turned to the Lord. So I'm going to send you grain. To me, that represents like people that are going to want to know about your connection with God and the God that you are promoting. What's new wine? Jesus talked about new wine. What was he referring to? Right, that's what Jesus said. So what's he talking about? And the new wine is the true doctrine, right? True connection with God. And what about oil? What does oil represent? Holy Spirit, yes. So I'm sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? So our goal in our prayer time is to ask God to prepare us to receive all of these things, right? Make us ready to receive other people who will want to come and know the God that we serve, to be able to accept true doctrine rather than a warped doctrine that we may have accepted in the past. I don't know about you, but the messages that we've been hearing from Elder Vanden ring very true to me. I didn't grow up hearing those kinds of messages. I grew up hearing messages about the list. And that was very damaging to me. It closed my heart against God. I still came to church, but I wasn't able to worship God when I came. Not in my spirit. I mean, intellectually everything was fine, but I certainly wasn't able to actually worship Him at my heart level. How many people come to church on a regular basis and their hearts are locked? Not because they want them to be, not because they purposely have closed them off, but because they've been taught that God is vengeful, that if they don't do that list the way that whoever is promoting the list believes it needs to be done, that you're lost. I had a grandmother who basically said you were from the devil if you didn't do the list the way it was supposed to be done. And that was very frightening to me as a child. I remember being terrified of the end days and even praying and asking God to lay me to rest before those days came so that I wouldn't have to go through those hard times, because I just didn't trust Him to be able to get me through anything. So it's a terrible thing to have a heart that is really closed. And I just thank God for the work that He has done in my heart when I've come to understand how closed I was, the work that He's done to really be able to open me up. I'm actually able to worship now. I don't believe I have arrived. I know I still have a ways to go in trusting God and actually worshiping Him in my spirit, not just in my intellect. But He's done an amazing work, and He has that option available to everybody. And that's His goal for each one of us, I believe. I have a little quote from five testimonies that really has impacted me as well. And I just like to read it. It's from page 267 and paragraph 2. We have great victories to gain and a heaven to lose if we do not gain them. The carnal heart must be crucified, for its tendency is to moral corruption, and the end thereof is death. Now, usually that's where things were left for me, right? That's where I would stop. That was the list, and you better do it or you're dead meat. Nothing but the life-giving influences of the gospel can help the soul. And here's the prayer. Pray that the mighty energies of the Holy Spirit, with all their quickening, recuperative, and transforming power, may fall like an electric shock on the palsy-stricken soul, causing every nerve to thrill with new life, restoring the whole man or woman from his dead, earthly, sensual state to spiritual soundness. You will thus become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and in your souls will be reflected the image of Him by whose stripes you are healed. What a promise. I find so much hope in that. I can actually be resurrected spiritually, from where I am to where I need to be, where God wants me to be, where there is fullness of joy and the ability to worship Him. Often, I, maybe you as well, have participated in criticism of others, in trying to justify myself in what I have been doing or whatever, and I have not been a blessing to others that God intended me to be. Each one of us needs to receive a blessing from God, and we need to pray blessings over others. What a wonderful thing. I wish I would have known what I know now when, you know, my kids were little. But we're all on a journey, so we can't go there, right? But what a wonderful thing it would be to pray blessings over our children before they leave the house in the morning. Think how that would really empower them. If that had been done to me as a child, I know that, I mean, my parents prayed for me, obviously, but to have a blessing prayed over me would just really set the tone for the day, right? And that's what I would like us to do this morning. I would like us to pair up, find a partner, and just take a minute to ask that person what their need is, what blessing they need for the day, and pray that blessing over them. Maybe there's a verse of scripture, maybe there's a promise that you could claim for that person. If you need some hints for promises, I think there's still a few on the table at the back. And I would just like us to pray a blessing over each person who's here so that we'll go through today and be on the right track. Also, we'll move from that. Just as you're finished with that, then you can just move out. We'll be finished. I have a book here that our conference has been promoting. I have put some over there on the table. 50 Days of Praying Against Criticism, or Praying for Sweetness, we could call it as well. Praying for Blessings. And it's a really powerful book. On the prayer Zoom prayer call in the early morning, we've done it through twice, and it's really been a help. Our churches will benefit from these, so if you want to take a copy for yourself and a copy for somebody that you want to do it with or for your church, feel free. I have 100 of them, so you're more than welcome to take one of those. I also have a little emergency numbers booklet over there as well. There's probably one for, there's 30. So if there's a couple, just take one, just in case we don't have quite enough. You can check at the end if there's more. But these are nice to just carry around. They have little things. If you want courage for a task, call Joshua 1. And so it just gives little verses that you can look up for different things, and it's kind of nice. You can make copies and give them to friends or whatever. So I'll just pray a blessing over all of you for this day, and then I would like you to pair up and pray a blessing over each other. So Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for each person who is here. As I look out over their faces, I just see that they are here because they are wanting to connect with you. And I just thank you that you are even more eager to connect with each one of them. So I'm just praying that blessing over them today, that their connection with you would really click this morning, and that they would see how amazing you are and go on to bless somebody else. So thank you for giving them that blessing today, and thank you for this beautiful Sabbath, which you are blessing each one of us with. In Jesus' name, amen.